Serving the universe from the Martian capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. This is Mushing, brought to you by First Paw Media. Let's hit the trail. Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.
Hello and welcome, guys. This is Robert from Mushing. We are sitting here in the cabin with Aiden Warner and Kenna Conley right outside of Wrangell St. Elias National Park in McCarthy, Alaska. This is part of our Team and Trail Tour. Aiden and Kenna, welcome to the show. I know we did a couple of interviews beforehand, longer ones, but this is all about leaving a message for our listeners, kind of talking about a story from the trail and something that you can give to our listeners that they can take a takeaway, if you will. So I'm going to start with Kenna. Kenna, you have a little bit more mushing experience than Aiden. You've worked for some mushers. You've been around the mushing scene for a little while. But I want to know, who is your most inspirational musher? And that can be anybody in mushing history. I mean, it could be somebody like Leonard Sepala or, you know, an Iditarod champion. Who is your most inspirational musher?
I was going to say Katie Joe and Jeff Dieter, but then you said anybody in history, and I immediately thought of Dora Keene. I don't think she's really well known for mushing, but she's the first woman to summit Blackburn here in Wrangell St. Elias, and she used a dog team for that.
Oh, wow.
That is so awesome.
I don't know that story.
I know that story. That I'm so glad that you brought that up, because Blackburn is my favorite mountain.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dora King.
Keene.
Huh. Tell us a bit about the story. Do you know it?
I don't know too many details about it. I want to say she did it in the springtime, around April. Yeah, she went up with a dog team and a crew of expeditioners. And if she's not the first woman, she's the first person to summit Blackburn.
And how long ago was this? Long time ago?
I have no idea. Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
All right, guys that are listening, we're going to find this story and we're going to do a follow-up with this. I will give you guys a history lesson in a different episode for sure. So that is your most inspirational. Let's go to Aiden. Aiden, anybody in mushing history all the way back? I know that you are kind of a foundational type musher. You want to get out there and do it how they used to do. All the way up to today with some recent Iditarod champions, kind of the names of the sport. Who is your most inspirational musher?
I'm trying to remember. I read a book called North to the Pole about a guy in the 80s who did a dog sled expedition to the North Pole, but I don't remember his name. But that was a pretty inspirational book. Otherwise, I would have to say, like, somebody like Leonard Sepala, somebody who had more of a connection to the land instead of just the dogs. Somebody who not only knows how to run a dog team well, but also can navigate through, you know, untouched country.
Without a headlamp.
Without a headlamp.
Without a headlamp.
Part to me.
Yes, that is true.
Right?
All right.
Okay, imagine being an Iditarod and not having a headlamp, right? There's a trail. Now imagine, like, breaking your own trail in the middle of a blizzard, you know, somewhere you've never been before, without a headlamp. Like, it's just so, so much more crazy what those people, those mushers used to do to me. It's way more intimidating.
All right. So, guys that are listening, you may hear some panting on the podcast. I am sitting next to Waylon. Waylon is the inspiration for Waylon's Way, Aiden and Kenna's kennel out here in Wrangell. So it is not us heavy breathing over these stories. It is definitely, definitely Waylon for sure. So let's jump into a story and sort of a take home. And I'm going to go with Kenna first. Kenna, tell us a story. You've told us a lot of stories in our previous episodes about truly using dogs for what they were meant to be, running to McCarthy and picking up the mail and all of that cool stuff. So tell us a story and then how somebody that does not know anything about mushing can have a takeaway from it. Maybe an inspirational moment, maybe a leadership lesson, maybe a teamwork lesson. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot with this, but go for it.
Right. I think I was feeling most inspired by my team at the very end of our season this winter. We did a run that I was looking forward to all season. If you're familiar with McCarthy, you know that there are a lot of mine shafts that you can hike up to in the summer, and they're pretty steep. And I really, really wanted to make that run with the dog team in the wintertime. And we finally made it happen, and it was a lot of running, a lot of pushing the sled, but whenever we stopped to take breaks, the dogs were always so pumped. They knew they were climbing a mountain and they were jazzed about it. And, you know, a lot of the time when we're running on rivers, it's pretty flat. I think it's a little boring for them, but they were so pumped to climb this mountain. And I was just feeling really moved by them, and the teamwork was really awesome. And then on the way back down, that was a lot of fun too. But I think the lesson from that is you can do something really hard, you know, whether it's physically hard or mentally hard. And if you got your best friends with you, it is the most fun thing that you can do. And it's so rewarding.
And you can use that in many areas of life, whether it's a small team of individuals at an office or a backpacking trip in the Wrangells together with your best buds, for sure. All right, Aiden, tell us about one of your stories and some type of take home that they could use in their real life.
Just off the spot, I'm thinking about Kenna's story because all winter she had wanted to do that, and we had talked about it. I was like, man, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. Like, I don't, that was what, 3,000 feet in 2 miles? Like, they went up, I guess you can't quite see it from here, but they went up the mountain. And just off the top of my head, because she was just talking about it, like, the lesson for me there was, like, again, don't hold yourself back, and don't underestimate your dogs, because I think they actually enjoyed doing that more because it was more difficult versus just a normal run on a trail or a river. Like, that was funner for them, which I was not expecting that. Like, I thought it was going to be, I didn't think she was going to make it all the way up.
And for folks listening, 3,000 vertical feet in a couple of miles on a dog team. That's intense, isn't it?
Steep.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of a good takeaway lesson for that for people that are listening. Obviously, don't underestimate your team. Definitely plan for whatever task that you're trying to do. Definitely know the terrain, whatever terrain that you're trying to accomplish. Know what that entails. And prepare for all risk, right?
Yeah.
For sure. All right, guys.
Well, and go climb a mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out there. Okay.
Don't underestimate your fiance.
Very good. All right, guys. Kenna, I want to hear your frost nip. What is your most humbling experience?
We talked a little bit about the tea dog earlier, and what the mass start was like and us always passing each other. I think that was really humbling for me because it wasn't super intense, but it was very frustrating, and it lasted a couple hours of us just all leapfrogging each other. And in one way, I was frustrated, but in another way, I felt like all of us mushers and teams, we were all in this situation together. And I think that was humbling because, you know, we were all doing the same thing and it was frustrating for all of us.
Okay.
Like, yeah. you wanted to be mad at everybody else, but you couldn't because they were dealing with the same thing.
Right.
Yeah,
we've all been there. Yeah, mass starts are interesting. I've only done a couple of those in my time. You got to be ready.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something where they're doing the countdown like on a normal race. 3, 2, 1, and you take off and you got some space. Okay, Aiden, your most humbling experience, as we call it here on the podcast, our frost nip segment.
Mine might actually involve some actual frost nip. So this was early on when I lived in Alaska, like a couple years after moving up here. I was out on the Chena River with a friend doing some trapping. And like the ice was really solid everywhere. Like we had checked it. And so I was feeling super confident. And we were, I can't remember what we were doing, walking around on the river looking to make a link set or something, and I saw like a spot over on the bank that looked good, and so I walked over there, and I heard the ice kind of sounded hollow, but there was a couple other spots where we had been where there was shelf ice, where it's just like, you know, an inch of ice, then maybe like 3 or 4 inches of air, then the thick river ice underneath. And everywhere that we had checked on the river, there was like a good foot and a half of ice. So I was feeling super safe and confident. Well, so I heard that hollow sound and I was like, oh, that's just shelf ice. And I kept walking on it. And I made like a few feet and went right into the river up to my chest. And luckily there was no current where I fell in. So I was able just to pull myself out. But then it was like a, I don't know, 15-mile snow machine ride home, which was very cold. And so that was a very humbling experience. After that, I've never on a river do I just think, ah, it's fine.
All right. Those are some good ones for sure. So, Kenna, I would like to hear a story about one of your dogs. Tell us about the dog. What's its name? How old is it? Where does it come from? And then just a quick story.
Yeah. So I first met Elmer when I was working on the glacier in Skagway. And for context, I was there as a musher in charge of a 40-dog yard. This was my second job working with sled dogs. And a lot of the dogs in that yard, they were really vicious and they did not like each other. And it was really chaotic trying to figure out how to run them. And I had 5 dogs that came from Will, and Elmer was one of those. And he was just always so goofy. And at that point, he was a yearling, and I thought he had a lot of potential. So he's the first dog that I ever trained to be a leader. And, you know, I hooked him up in swing. We ran halfway down the trail, and then I moved him to lead position. And it just seemed like he belonged there. And I was so proud of him. And then we came back around into our dog yard, and that was tricky because we had my 40 dog yard. Then behind mine was another 40 dog yard. Wait, yeah, that makes sense. And then, you know, same across from me. So he had to pass like 150 dogs, and he did. And I was really, really proud of him. And so when that following winter came and Will asked if I wanted to adopt Elmer, I had to say yes. And I just really, really love him and his goofiness. And then turns out he actually has chronic bronchitis. So he's no longer a sled dog and more like a pet. So he lives full time inside, and he is just so funny. He like moves his head around.
Is this Elmer that's running around?
That's Aurora.
Okay.
Yeah. Elmer is currently outside.
All right. And how old is Elmer?
He's going to be 4.
Okay. So he's still kind of young.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Aiden, you cannot use Elmer.
Okay.
All right. Give us a story about one of your favorite dogs. Tell us who he is, how old he is, he or she, and the story.
My story would be Coralie, which she is 7. 7? Yeah, so Coralie, not a super in particular story. I just love her attitude towards life. She's kind of a crackhead. Like, she is just all the time go. I've never seen that dog sad or like act like she's actually tired. Like, you can tell maybe she's tired, but her attitude is still like go, go, go. And so whenever you're out on the trail with her, like all the other dogs, maybe it's a bad day or a bad run. Maybe they're all not in the right headspace, but she's just always like happy, go lucky, ready to go, ready to kiss you, ready to love you, no matter what. Like, I feel like anything could happen to that dog and she would still have a good outlook on life.
All right. So Coralie and Elmer are the dogs. Okay. Aiden, what is your hottest hot take in mushing?
I think too many people focus on racing. Not that racing is bad. I think it's fine, and like, I want to do it too. More people should focus on like, where can we go with dogs? What can we do with them? And trying to bring back what they used to do.
Love it. Kenna, what is your hottest mushing hot take?
I think my hot take is that there needs to be more educational-based tours. I'm not a fan of the pony tours that a lot of people do, where you just get guests and you put them in a sled and you go.
Like it. Yeah. All right. So to close us out here on this episode, I know we did this in a previous episode, but Kenna, where can folks follow you on the socials?
Yeah, we have Facebook and Instagram. You can follow us at Waylands Way Dog Sledding. And then our website is www.waylandswaydogsledding.com.
All right, guys. Our guest today here on the Team and Trail Tour for 2025 in the Wrangells in McCarthy, Alaska is Aiden Warner and Kenna Connolly. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for inviting us to your very cool home. I look forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.